Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear broadcast and podcast. I'm Susan Larison-Dance, and I'm really happy to welcome you here today because I have to say that this past week has been quite a powerful one for me, and I'm coming to you in great gratitude for all of the people surrounding the show. And I just wanted to start the show out that way to let you know, whether you're listening in the future or live at any time, just how much I appreciate the community around this show. And I really do feel that we are co-creating together a very special place, and I do view it as a co-creation. And so I wanted to start this show with a thank you. Today, I know that you are really going to appreciate the guest who is returning to the show. I think it's been close to a year since she's been on the show, if not over a year. But I am so happy to be bringing back Reverend Christine Green. Now, Christine is in the Portland area where I am, in Portland, Oregon. And she is the founder of Sacred Heart Ministries. And she is an author of multiple books. The one that I have a feeling will come into play in our discussion today is Authentic Spirituality, A Woman's Guide to Living an Empowered Life. Although today we are going to be talking about abundance, which I consider a very deep and fascinating topic, because one of the things we'll be exploring will be how do we determine what abundance actually is. And I think we're going to have quite a good conversation. More about Christine. Christine has also written extensively from the depth of her own experience on the topic of caregiving. And her latest book is The Caregiver's Journal, Insight and Inspiration for Caregivers. And she also earlier wrote Anatomy of Caring. And perhaps in our conversation today, we will weave that into the conversation as well, as to how we find a state of spiritual abundance or any kind of abundance in the midst of challenge. And I think Christine will have a lot to say about that. Christine is also a retreat and workshop facilitator. In fact, I've been watching with interest a women's retreat in the Portland area that apparently has filled up, and she's scheduling another one. So I'll be sure to talk to her about that as well. And she is very much a spiritual mentor to many people. There is a call-in number for today's show, and we will be open to taking callers at some point in the show. And that number is 310-807-5104. And I also want to remind people that should you have to go away from your computer for some reason and you're wanting to listen live, that's actually a teleconference line as well. And if you call in and you don't ask to talk to the host, there's actually an option for that. You can just sit there and listen to the show. And that's also true if the show goes over for a few minutes. We're running it for an hour today, and we're likely to stay close to that. But it's always good to know that should you want to listen to a live broadcast on any Blog Talk Radio show that's gone over, all you need to do is call in to their call-in line, and that's true of this show as well. A note about the chat room. There is a chat room open today, hopefully you can see it. I know that sometimes, in fact, many times, depending on how you are listening to this show live, you're not necessarily in the chat, and I know that just from experience. If you want to be following the chat, depending on how you're listening to the show, there are a variety of ways, and one way is it's up on the show page if you're listening there, but there is also another way where you can click on the live shows option on the main Blog Talk Radio page and then look at the chats on the right, and you will find Susan Larison Dance. So I thought I would open this show just with a few instructions, because I know that sometimes it's hard to navigate through all these things and interfaces change over time. And I just wanted to make sure everyone knew the different ways of participating in what really is becoming quite a wonderful community. And once again, I am in gratitude to you. So without further delay, I really am so happy to bring back on the program Reverend Christine Green. Hello, Christine. It's so nice to have you back.
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, I had somewhat of a lengthy introduction this time, but I felt like I really want people to know all the different ways that they can be here with us. And, you know, I so appreciate the things that you're doing. And I really did watch with interest how that women's retreat of yours, which was so generously priced as well. I mean, that has really filled up, hasn't it?
It did. It filled up very quickly. Thank you for mentioning it. There'll be more.
I have
one planned in the fall and another one next April.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And I'm even watching those with interest, because it looks like you're doing them in beautiful locations, and the energy sounds really wonderful, just so loving and supportive.
Oh, thank you so much. I think it's really important for us to take the time to nurture ourselves, and sometimes we need to get away from the daily grind. Even if you take a day off and you spend it at home, there's always something that you can pulls to your attention. But going away with a focus to renew yourself spiritually is very empowering.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be doing. And
I
hope you can join us at one of them.
Yeah, you know, I would really like to, because they look just wonderful. And, you know, I'll tell you that when it comes to women who are not necessarily setting aside enough time for such things, I can really sometimes fall into that category, although I'm trying to make an effort. There was a study that came out recently, which was really interesting, that simply walking in nature can put you into a meditative state. And it's something that I've known. And so I have found, I mean, I've just known it from my own experience. I was glad to see it confirmed, but I think that even for that, I have to remind myself, okay, now is the time to take a walk, because I'll get so involved. Don't we just get so involved in everything? And, you know, I'm a mom, and so when the day, towards the end of the day, it's filled with things. So, and, you know, actually my day is very full, even into the evening, and like many women.
That's so true, Susan. And what happens is when we take time for ourselves, it's beginning to strengthen that place of receptivity. We're talking about abundance today. And so one of the ways we can begin to develop our abundance outlook, our abundance connection, is by doing things for ourselves and be willing to receive. So as we take that walk in nature, we're receiving the energy, we're receiving the light, the peace, the calmness that we have, that we've taken away from our day. Our day will still be there when we get back. And so to be able to take that time, we're setting ourselves up to be able to receive. And it's one of the issues that's most difficult for us is to receive. So this is one way to practice.
That is a really interesting observation. And I have found, you know, a lot of, not just women, but it often can be women and men, when we're working at home, in particular, if we have a business, and this is so true in the spiritual community, many of us have businesses that we're running from our homes. And there is a tendency, Christine, to work and work and work and work. And often it feeds our souls. I mean, I will say what I'm doing now, I have so much energy, way more energy than I ever had in a corporate job. I have amazing energy. However, I do have to remind myself that, like you say, you have to nurture yourself. And when you're in service to others, it can feel really good. And yet also you have to take that time. And you know, I have to remind myself as much as anyone, as I've said.
It's so true. I know a lot of my friends are working from home, and it is very challenging because unless we find a way to separate where does our day begin and end, that's going to be an issue. So if we can make that agreement with ourselves, to that I'm going to do this and then I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do this. I'm going to separate my day. This is work time. This is me time. Now, you're a mom, so that makes it extra hard because you have people dependent on you. But it's that, how am I going to do that? So I have work time. I have family time. I have children time. And then what am I going to do to take care of myself? It is it is a challenge, but it has we have to do it. It all falls into this topic we're talking about with abundance, again, because we have to be in that quiet time so we can be able to receive.
Isn't there that deceptive feeling that we get that, oh, if I only do this or that, this is the classic home business or work-at-home trap that, you know, I have to do this. I have to do that in order to, you know, get whatever... You know, complete a task so that you come into some abundance. And yet the irony of it is the more driven we are like that, and the more we sabotage ourselves in a way, don't we, Christine? Because I found that too.
So true. We're our worst enemies. We're I would never want someone to work for me. I'm a terrible boss.
You know, I know this. Of course, we're bosses of ourselves, aren't we?
when you're boss of yourself, yeah, I actually work a lot with people and I do really well. But but how I work for myself is I'm driven. Yes, I have this project to work on. I have that project to work on. I didn't do enough. I have to do more. I didn't do enough. And so we would never treat another person the way we treat ourselves.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you know, I used to be when I was in the corporate world, I was in a project leadership role. And when I was really young, I was demanding. And sometimes I think you learn over time, the more awakened you become, to have compassion and empathy in those roles if you're going to be effective. But it is so true that we forget to have compassion and empathy for ourselves.
That's absolutely true. And chapter 2 of my book is, would you say that to your best friend? Because we will say things to ourselves. We will beat ourselves up. How we treat ourselves, how we think about ourselves, the attitude we have, we would never say that to another person. I would never treat someone or say the things that I say to myself. And so it's learning, how do I say those kind things to myself? How do I give myself credit for what I've accomplished? It's one of the biggest things I work on with my clients. When you finish a project, to acknowledge yourself, to celebrate yourself, what are you going to do to celebrate that success? And all of this begins to build in to that awareness of opening up to receiving more, opening up that, and I just want to go back, how you open the show is one of the most powerful steps in developing abundance, and that's gratitude. Because the universal law says whatever we're grateful for increases. So the more gratitude we have, that we increase that energy, we increase and we're willing to receive more. When you think about what you don't want, then what you notice all around you is that you are attracting more of what you don't want. And so the more we are grateful for what we have, that we begin to see that around us. Oh, I'm so grateful. Actually, today the sun is shining. It's an extraordinary day. So to be grateful the sun's shining, that you and I are having a wonderful conversation on the phone and on the radio, that we're being of service, that wherever we are in the moment is to find something that we're grateful for. It increases our energy and increases the opportunity to see more that we're grateful for. And it increases that ability to receive more.
I think that we fail to see that sometimes. And I'll tell you a little bit about the sunny day. In the old days, Christine, I would not take a walk on my show days because, you know, I was preparing for the show. And I don't know. I just felt like I can't get away. I have a show to do. But do you know, there came a time where I shifted that. I mean, unless it's pouring rain. And today is a beautiful day. So I went to the park. And, in fact, I even admitted to you before the show, I hadn't done a whole lot of preparation. Usually I have like some, I don't do a lot usually. I let the conversation flow. I really do. But this time it was kind of unusual. And yet something told me, no, you really have to go to the park. You are not going to sacrifice that today because it's been a bit of a hectic week. And you know what? It was the right decision. You know, the logical driven left brain decision of my past, having been a computer scientist, would be, you know, do something to make sure the technical aspect is okay, or, you know, all kinds of different things that I might have done. But the fact that I went for that walk in the sunshine on this beautiful day really made a difference. And what did it do? It did lead me into that place of gratitude. I think that nurturing of myself this morning, Christine, led me into the show that way. And so I so resonate with what you're saying because it perfectly matches my day so far.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, why do you separate that from the idea of your preparation? That is part of your preparation.
Ah, very astute.
So see, it's changing an attitude. It's changing your attitude and changing your awareness. It is part of your preparation to go for a walk. You just said about being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're more productive, that we take that time. We open ourselves. And we open ourselves to receive. So rather than seeing it, oh, I'm not preparing, this is part of my preparation. I'm clearing my mind and making myself available, opening to the ideas, opening myself to a greater expanse. Do you see the difference that makes?
Oh, I absolutely do. I begin to see how you work with your coaching clients because that is a really significant shift in the way of thinking about it, because you're right. I was thinking that was more, I don't know, I guess in a way I knew it without really labeling it, but not as directly. In fact, I think that will make me even more mindful. You know, this concept of being mindful of things. That's what you've just done for me, Christine. That's why this is such a cool mentoring kind of thing, is that I really wasn't mindful of it completely. I was partially until you said that. It's true. It's true. I set the space. I set my own energetic space, really, to be receptive to listening, for example, which is really important with this show. And, you know, this is a feeling show. This show really isn't meant to be. It's far better preparation to do that than to feel like, oh, you know, in case I need it, usually I'll have some questions in case. Sometimes conversations sort of pause in the show, so I've learned, you know, it's good to have some questions just in case. And, you know, this time I don't have any. But I prepared. Thank you very much.
See,
I really prepared.
It's so interesting because we're not trained to do this in society. So we're trained mm-hmm. that we have to be busy and we have to know everything, and we don't mm-hmm. learn to trust ourselves. And the big part is to begin to develop that intuitive part, our spiritual side, which when the more we can develop that and the more we tune in the quiet time, that we strengthen that, and that gives us more energy, that gives us more ideas, that expands our, and that opens our awareness to mm-hmm. more than we can even imagine, rather than looking down. I'm trying to think of a better way to explain this, is that we focus on something that we want, but if we focus on where we are in the moment, we live out of intention. When there's something we want, we go after a goal. But when we live in the moment, we can still have that goal, but we're living in intention and, what you said, being mindful in the moment. Mm-hmm. One of the things with abundance that we don't give enough credit to are ideas, the creative energy that we have. Because when we are connected with our spiritual self, we have a wealth of energy. We have a wealth of awareness. And what it does is it gives us creativity. It gives us ideas. And that's just as prosperous as having, maybe you want money and you think, oh, I have to go take on an extra job. But spending that time in the quiet, you might have an inspiration of something that you could do even more productively or easily that will give you the thing that you want. Does that make sense?
Oh, it really does. And it's actually relevant to so many of us right now, too, because I have found that when we're working in our passion and, you know, we're creating something, and that's how I feel. And I know a lot of the listeners out there who are, you know, really focusing in that area. We do sometimes come up with things that we think we have to do, in the old conventional way. Like I was talking on another show just not too long ago. It was the April Fool's show, and we were talking about how, quote, foolish we were being in conventional ways, and yet not necessarily in wisdom. There is a wisdom sometimes to defying convention. And, you know, sometimes because I'm building something and I'm not in that space that I once was as an engineer and in a corporate environment where, you know, you're bringing in lots of abundance, although abundance of spirit, it depends on what you're doing. In fact, we might get into that in a minute. But the point is, sometimes it's very tempting to say, and I've even been told to do this or advised sometimes, why don't you just get a job? Or why don't you know, work part-time and, you know, do this thing that you know is a sure thing, right, because it's some skill, or even if it's not. I mean, I know plenty of people who, you know, went and, you know, go work at Kohl's for a while or whatever. And sometimes maybe that makes sense. But I tell you what, every time I think about it, I just say no. Although, you know, I am going to patiently build this and trust, because it will only distract me. If I have that kind of commitment that is away from what I'm really trying to create, not just trying, what I intend to create, it will diminish where I'm headed. And so I felt that. But it's a very challenging thing to navigate. And I know a lot of people in this economy are navigating that. And sometimes maybe you do need to be in that space to a degree. I mean, I know that we've had people, Christine, and I wonder if you could offer some advice, because even in the last show, there was a discussion in the chat of just the hardship that people are going through in this economy, and even they feel like they're doing the right things, and yet it's not quite happening. And I wonder if we could offer some reassurance and advice, some more in that area where, you know, there's just that struggle And I know it's in the struggle that we might have some issues.
That is a really important point. And it's really hard to use a lot of the to do these things when you're in a survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we find ourselves in that, it can be very challenging. And so it's the first of all, we have to take care of ourselves. And
yeah.
If you don't have the means, is that maybe something temporary can help you out.
Yeah.
So maybe that job at Kohl's for a couple months, or maybe that part-time job helping somebody else or working for somebody else at night, that's going to help you out. But so first of all, we have to take care of ourselves so that we have
mm-hmm.
Food and clothing and that we're taken care of. And I know that there's many people that are suffering in this way, and it's very challenging. It's to say, oh, go get a job. Sometimes we can't even do that.
Not in this economy, not necessarily. I mean, it really depends. And, you know, the other thing that comes up, and I know this often will come up when we have callers on like a Saturday night. In fact, mentioning callers, just in case someone would like to call, and I'm going to put out that number again. It's 310-807-5104, and callers are welcome on this show. But I wanted to say that what if you have health issues? You know, that can be challenging as well, where you are in this state, or even, you know, maybe you can speak to some of the things you experienced with you, even in the role of a caregiver, where how can you, when you're in a growth situation for our soul's growth, it really feels like those situations are like that, how can we still access abundance and be in that state of receiving?
That's a great question. Just as we talked earlier, that we have to develop a way to be receptive. And
mm-hmm.
one way to do that is that being able to ask for help. So that so many people operate in their own circle of, or their sphere, which is their, sometimes it's limited, that they have this awareness around them, but it's limited, and they don't reach out to ask other people. So it's being able to go and ask, and we're very humbled when we ask. It's a very humbling process, and people
mm-hmm.
avoid it. But most people want to give. People want to be able to help. They will do whatever they can to be able to help. So it's to begin to develop that. And this is really important. All these things are important to do before the crisis happens.
Yes.
That if you don't have a prayer practice and a crisis happens, it's going to be really difficult to develop a prayer practice, right?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
We're in crisis mode. What we want to do is we want to do all these things ahead of time. And I wish I could explain the importance of building a network of people that you have around you. Because when a crisis happens, you want to be able to call on them.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to do that when my husband had leukemia. He had leukemia and a bone marrow transplant and a stroke. And the sickness was just, his illness was so overwhelming. I was at the hospital every day, and I just found that I couldn't do everything. I couldn't talk to the insurance companies because the insurance companies, that's a whole nother topic we could have someday.
Oh, yeah.
The insurance company, you have to be in communication with them in order to get care. So
mm-hmm.
you've got to, plus I had to take care of things home. I had to take care of the bills in the house and taking care of things and be at the hospital and do everything. And it's exhausting. And the caregivers, they're found to have so much stress that their lives are shortened. Because
yeah.
of this level of stress. it's so important to build this network, to know who's around or where you can go, that as you, when you're well, that you develop relationships and friendships. Who can I serve? How can I reach out to others? What organizations do you connect with? So that when there's an illness, when that happens, that you have a network of people that you can rely on. This is, I wanted to fit this in, and I hope you don't mind me fitting this in right now. When there's a crisis that happens, so this week we saw a horrible, horrible tragedy in Boston.
Yes.
What the things that we know is that there are way more people that are loving and caring, that there's a few individuals that have evil intents and that they cause destruction. But the majority of people want to help, want to give, want to share. They want to reach out. When we give, and you know this for yourself, every time you give, you are renewed in a way. You are lifted up by your giving.
Yes.
So when you're able to do that for somebody else, it's so rewarding. People want to be able to do that, but so often we don't allow others to serve. And I know that. I've talked to so many women, and I ask them, how did you get through this illness with your family member, whoever it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one woman. It was months since her husband died, and she was still reeling from the fact that no one helped her. And I said, who did you ask? And she said, well, no one. Who's going to want to help me? Well, how do you know unless you're going to ask?
Yeah.
So it's just as we talked in the beginning, it's all tied together, how you took the time to take care of yourself. It's to take you are taking care of yourself by building relationships with others, by reaching out and finding out how you can serve, that this whole thing is a network overall for how we can be supported and taken care of.
You know, I'll tell you, I have, first of all, two things in response to this. In fact, I'm really happy that you mentioned what happened in Boston, because I actually had intended to mention that earlier. What I heard from people who were in Boston, and I actually reached out to a couple people that I know there, was that there was such an outpouring of love and concern. I mean, they were just overwhelmed. In fact, I was reading even the newspaper where runners, they started getting text messages from all over the country, you know, just this love and concern for them from friends and loved ones far away. I mean, I personally wrote to a friend where I'm not always in touch with her, although actually we had been fairly recently, but not a whole lot. I mean, we're good friends, but, you know, there can be quite big gaps with our older friends that can happen. And yet immediately she came to mind, and I wrote to her, and she wrote back. And you know, it had an amazing effect. I mean, it's a tragedy. And, you know, I always also want to look at, ultimately, we may not be ready to look at this yet, but once we figure out what happened, you know, how can we find ways to heal that, you know, the sources of these things in our society? I'm always hopeful of that as well. But that's a more advanced concept than you know, right at first. It's just the outpouring of love. I mean, from what I understand, I mean, you could feel it. It was really powerful. And people who were there were talking about that as well.
You are right. And I saw on the news a woman who saw the runners outside that were cold and shivering, and they couldn't go back to their hotel, and she invited them in, like seven people, and she fed them. And they sat there, and they were so gracious. They never asked for anything. She fed them and opened her home, and she was so joyful and so grateful that she had the opportunity to do that. What we can do so we're kind of switching subjects, but see, let me just bring in universal law.
It's somewhat
law.
Related, though. It really is.
It is.
It seems like it all comes full circle.
And here's why. Because whatever we give out graciously comes back to us multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're able to give to another, that good is going to come back. So she was able to give to them. It's like she has good karma in her bank account. She did a good deed, and that somehow that will be returned to her. Not only will she feels good and she was uplifted and she served others, but that good will somehow be given back to her. So
yes.
if we when a tragedy like that happens, we want to reach out and we want to help. One way that we could do that is to find out what we can do in our own community so that we can't go to Boston. We don't know what they really need in Boston, but maybe that inspires us to do something in our own community.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Newtown is that people were so stricken by the tragedy with the children and all those
yeah,
who were killed in Newtown,
mm-hmm.
that they had such an unbelievable outpouring that what they started doing was sending gifts to the children. Do you know that they had to open a warehouse? They had to warehouse thousands and thousands of gifts from all over the world. And they have to have volunteers to manage the stuff that people sent. Because we don't know what to do with our energy, so the first thing was, what can I give them? And so they collected, they sent notebooks and school supplies. What they did, I follow their newsletter, and they mm-hmm. opened up the warehouse for all the schools in Newtown to come in and take whatever supplies that they needed. Because there's so much, there's more than they could ever imagine. So they take all those supplies, and then they're starting to open up to other places. They're trying to write thank you letters to the people who have given something, and they don't have enough money to write letters. So one of the
yes.
things you can do is send them money for postage, which I did.
Yes.
But the point I'm bringing is, we want to do something. Well, then turn the energy. I can't do anything in Newtown. I can send them a few dollars for postage. I can send everyone prayers. And
yes.
let me get to that in a minute. But what if I have energy that I want to do something, what can I do in my community? Can I go work at a food bank? Can I go volunteer my time at an organization? Can I, you know, look to see what it is you can do? And that's the thing I wanted to get back to is prayer. That the power
yeah.
of prayer is amazing. And the most extraordinary thing that we can do is that when there's a tragedy, that we're able to send our prayers and our thoughts. I absolutely believe and know and have experienced that prayer works. And
yes.
But it's so passive that it's the last thing we think about. It's like, I have to do something. We want to do something. We don't think about the power of prayer.
And that's the first thing you can do. And
that's the first thing you can do.
Uh-huh. I do believe in that, and I know so much that when I looked at, even on my Facebook page or seeing what people were doing right after the event in Boston occurred, there were a lot of people thinking that way. I mean, I think more and more of us, it is an instinct. It is, you're so right, though, when you say, what can I do? You think that it's not an action, and yet it is. It is an action, and I think I just couldn't agree more. And, you know, I keep coming back to this sense of a community. And actually, there's another part that I'd like to come back to, that something you mentioned about allowing people to help us. And, you know, I have to say that someone helped me through a blockage last week, and it had amazing results. And, you know, sometimes we don't even know that we need help is the interesting thing. And yet the right person comes along at the right time into our lives to support us in an area where we need assistance. And, you know, I sense that's part of it too, is that when we open ourselves to receiving, and I believe I had started to open more and more to the community around this show, including the guests. And, in fact, I don't even mind saying, thanks to the last guest who was on the show, Dr. Alan Hunter, and also, you know, a build-up, other guests as well, Mark David Gerson's another one, I started writing again. I had been blocked, and I didn't know exactly the help that I needed until it was there. And I think that it was an interesting experience, because I think I had to open to the community more of what this show is giving. You know, so often I think, oh, you know, I'm helping the audience. I'm helping the audience, mm-hmm. right? Whereas, mm-hmm. no, this was very specifically supposed to help me. And, you know, as a result, I've blogged 7 days in a row, which is that is a record for me. And I know that you know, that is nurturing my soul and will ultimately help others as well. But again, there's something there in this whole receiving aspect and also the help arriving even when you're not completely you're open to something, but you don't quite know what it is. That makes sense. Is that sometimes it comes in a way that you didn't really expect, and then it just, like, you know, whatever your blockage is, you're helped over that, and you're in a new space.
Well, it's what you said earlier about being mindful. That when we're mm-hmm. mindful, we can get answers in so many ways. That someone says, oh, I want to introduce you to a friend, or we're looking for a job and someone asks us to help with something and we get to meet someone out of that. That you go to volunteer to help a friend move and you meet someone who can give you an avenue for a job. There's
right.
so many ways that when you're mindful and you're open to the spiritual abundance that's available, that we are in that place to receive the good that's available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to develop the means to be able to do that and not close ourselves off, that there's so many ways to receive and to, again, by giving thanks, by being mindful, maybe taking a few moments of prayer, doing things for others, submersing yourself in uplifting spiritual reading, listening to places like your show for inspiration and to learn, to that when you're willing to expand your education and grow. All these things broaden our awareness and have more opportunity for us to receive, for us to grow.
Yes. And I think so often, just again using this analogy, I knew deep down, Christine, I had a problem, and yet I was kind of not minding it, this blockage in my writing. I was making all kinds of excuses. I was saying, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this radio show instead. Well, there's some truth to that, actually. I think that having this show is important. And yet, deep in my heart, I really want to write. And yet, I had some work I had to do. And I'm still doing the work. But the interesting thing is, spirit, the universe, God, however you want to label it, my higher self, because I knew that, you know, I wanted to expand this work, and, you know, however it happened, the right things came together at the right time to really push me forward, to help me not just push, but to take that step, and the help.
Yes.
The help
and
that,
you were,
that I needed.
Because of your growth and where you are in a place to be receptive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know
and
what
I'm
happened,
not,
but...
Well, it just, you know, I joked about it with somebody. It's like, you know, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing the guests coming on this show, I have to say. I mean, all of you are just amazing. And I think it's really starting to dawn on me just how much this is benefiting all of us, and least of which, and you know, as much myself as anyone. I mean, I am learning so much, and it just so happens, you know, I happen to manifest someone who's an expert in helping people get over the blockage that I had. And, you know, and it's just amazing how that can happen. And I've had other things like that happen this last week. It's like sometimes we have a shift. I mean, even financially, I had something occur that was really positive. And it's just, it's like sometimes we stand in our own way, and then when we're ready, amazing things start happening. And I had that experience recently. And before that, I was actually under some stress. I mean, I think that I must have put out a call for help in some way, and then it shifted. And you know,
well,
there's another question is when we're in this stress, how do we deal with it? You know, I wish I could analyze, you know, what did I do? I don't know. I mean, I wasn't totally positive. I wish I could say I was, but something was different, and I was open to receive.
Correct. And that's where I was going to say is what happened is that because you've been mindful and you've been open and receptive, so now you are attracting people that are benefiting you, your callers, humanity. So you were open, so you began to attract the people who are coming into your community.
Can it be sometimes, in fact, you know, just analyzing this and also just other situations I've seen, is that sometimes our intent, sometimes we don't have it all figured out necessarily in the moment, and yet we have just enough, it seems, to, I don't know what it is, this concept of critical mass maybe is a good analogy. What do you say to that, Christine? Because I know that we all tend to have some doubt sometimes. I mean, that's really normal. What is it with, even when we're in a stressful situation, somehow reaching this state where we just shift? Could you speak to that even more? Because I'm actually really curious about this right now myself. I'm really analyzing this at the moment.
I don't know that we can explain everything that's happening, but what I know, one of the things I talk about in the chapter on money, and the chapter is called Money Talks, But Are You Listening? That there are three pitfalls regarding money and abundance, and the first one is unworthiness. And when we feel unworthy, and again, as we're talking about receptivity, when we feel unworthy, we don't feel worthy to receive. And so we tend to block it. We're not receptive. For years, I told everyone that I wasn't interested in money, that money wasn't important to me. And so the universe showed me all the ways money wasn't important. And I went into a huge amount of debt. And it wasn't until I understood what I was saying that yes, money is important, that we need it to live. We need it to take care of ourselves. And the difference is that we don't become a slave to it. So that's what I was trying to say, but I didn't understand it at the time, so I learned the hard way. So the first one is the first pitfall is unworthiness. The second one is doubt, that we're doing something and we start to doubt, you know, am I really doing anything? Is this going to help anybody? Am I going to make a go of this? We begin to doubt ourselves. And doubt causes chaos and confusion. And so then we're stuck again. And then the third one is guilt, because we're afraid to receive. So if we can be aware that these are pitfalls, these are strategies our mind makes up, that these are the places where we stop the flow, it's understanding that there's a universal flow. There's an energy that's always available to us. And anytime we can open to that by doing the things I said, by having a spiritual practice, by opening to spiritual readings, by doing affirmations, by being mindful, meditation, prayer, that all those things are connecting us and allowing that to open. The spiritual principle is my willingness, is my worthiness. It's being willing to receive, being willing to help, being willing to have a good idea. It's that out of our willingness, we shift from feeling unworthy to being worthy and to opening the door.
You know, when you talk about the guilt aspect, Christine, one of the things I have seen impact a lot of people in the spiritual community, and certainly it's something I've thought about as well, is there's kind of, I don't know what to label it, maybe kind of like a Mother Teresa attitude or something, where we feel like, and it does relate to being undeserving, but it also, people are suffering. And, you know, why is it right for me to be focused on this? You know, all these things are going so well, and yet people are suffering. Do you see what I mean? There's like this dichotomy. And
oh, yeah.
I think I finally kind of got to this point, and I still suffer from this. I don't know if suffer is the right. I still am plagued by this guilt sometimes, is that the more of us who are in a position to help, the better. And so, you know, there is a way of being on this path. And you know, if you're in survival mode, if you're in severe suffering, it like you had said earlier, you can't really help anyone else or, you know, in all work when it's in our passion. It's a service, I feel. And I think that's the antidote to the guilt, isn't it, to be from a position of service. And much of what you've said, I'm just kind of accenting that point, because I know it's troubled me. And you know, sometimes people will even say, you know, that is so selfish, you know, where they're looking in at this, you know, like we're being selfish to focus on abundance. And that's that guilt speaking again, isn't it? Because it's how you deal with it.
Yes. That's the old guilt. And what is guilt really? Guilt is so that when we're aware that we're hurting someone or doing something that's wrong. And what's happened is that we've switched it over to having money is not a good thing. And that's not the truth, is that having money, you can take care of yourself and you can take care of others. Look at Bill and Melinda Gates, the Gates Foundation, how many billions of dollars that they've given away. Look what Oprah has done. You know, I can name all kinds of people and organizations that have the money and they want to give back to others. So you and I being poor is not going to help anyone else. That you and I having success, we can show others the way. We can open the door for others. We can give to others. So we can shift away from that feeling of guilt of what can I do?
Yes.
What
and,
do I want
you know,
to do and what can I do?
Right. And you know what I have found? Again, this tends to impact people on the spiritual path, is that when I envision, what if I won the lottery tomorrow or something, you know, would I just go home and, you know, sit around and go on vacation and, you know, oh, my gosh, no. I mean, I so much love what I'm doing. I would expand and expand. You know, I would do more. I mean, I would actually do more. You know, as abundance comes in, I'm just going to use it to fuel the passion, and which ultimately my aim is to be of service. And then also, you know, we all can celebrate in it, as you say. And so to me, that tells me I'm on the right track in my work, because if I just want to do more of it, you know, if you want to quit your work, if abundance comes, and maybe you're called to something else, that's yet another sign, isn't it? That
absolutely.
So what do you think about this envisioning of what if I suddenly had all the resources I need, and you picture that, what would you be doing? And many of us would be doing a great deal more of our passion.
Because, again, everyone wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be able to give. But denying people from having wealth is not going to help anyone. Being angry at someone because they're wealthy is not going to serve. That it's stop looking at what everyone else is doing, and you bring the focus back. What can I do to make more of an impact with my life? How can I serve more people?
Yes.
How can be of benefit to my community?
Yes.
And that, take
that
the energy off other people.
Yes. And I think it really helps to define your path as well when you know what you would do under those circumstances, when you can just feel it. And you know, you really are energized too. I think we all know people who are volunteers. Ooh, we're running real close to the end. We're so carried away here. You know, maybe I should stop it there for a second and just say really quickly that, and I wanted to tell you this, one of the reasons why I felt like I didn't have to really prepare for you, Christine, is because you're Christine. Because I just appreciate your energy. And it was like something was telling me, what are you worried about? It's Christine. She is so great to talk to. And it was true. Here we are. We're in the last 3 minutes so of the live show anyway. So I want you to have a chance first. Thank you. Thank you, Christine. We've had a nice time of sharing here, and I know I'll be thinking about and reflecting on many of the things you said. But tell us, where can people find out more about you, and anything else you'd like to share about where we can find you and things like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Susan. It's just a delight, and it's just so much fun. We did get carried away. this topic could go on and on and on.
I know.
I have a blog, a website, Rev Christine, RevChristine.com. And mm-hmm. I have a blog. You can reach my blog from my website. You can do everything from my website. You can contact me, purchase books, links to my blog. All of my events are there. I have classes. The Tuesday, April 23rd, if you're in the Portland area, we have a study group on authentic spirituality. It's a great opportunity for women to get together, and every month we talk about one of the chapters of my book. And if you are not in the Portland area, on Monday, April 22nd, we have a teleconference class that is the same thing. We're working on chapters of authentic spirituality. And it's a great way to be with like-minded women and to hear about our successes, to hear about
mm-hmm.
what frustrations do you have and what successes do you have. But I've got a lot of events on my website, and you can register there for classes. And it's just been a delight to talk with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well,
and congratulations to you with your blog. I love your writing. And
I see a
book in the making there.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's the idea. And right now I'm unleashing my voice. Let's just put it that way. I had kind of shut down my authentic voice, and there were a number of reasons for it, but now it's coming through again, and I'm going to let it come through. And I'm very thankful to the support I had to helping me make that shift. And I'm thankful to you again, Christine. Thanks so much for being here again. And I look forward to
welcome.
Perhaps another time. I think we could we could easily, like you say, talk
forever.
Oh,
we have
forever.
So much more left to talk about. Yes, I hope
yes,
you'll have
so
me back.
Much. And I look forward to your future books as well, because I know you continue to write.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, you take care and enjoy this beautiful day and feed your soul. So thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to all of our listeners.
Yes. Thank you. Blessings. We're now in the podcast, and I guess I will go ahead and make just a couple of quick notes for those of you listening in the podcast form, as I know many of you do. First of all, I will put Christine's website up on the show page, so that'll be readily accessible to you. And that was, again, revchristine.com. And I also wanted to note that the next show will be this Friday, April 19th, at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to introduce a new series of shows on this program. I'm exploring different themes with this show now. And one of the themes I'd like to explore has to do with ancient civilizations and ancient spirituality and what we can understand about that. So I'm going to be bringing on some quite well-known experts who have so graciously agreed to come on this show. This show's attracting some amazing people. Many of these people are on, you know, major national network shows, and they're coming here to us. So it's wonderful. And on Friday, Dr. Susan Martinez, who is a researcher, and she is the author of the new book, The Lost History of the Little People, Their Spiritually Advanced Civilizations Around the World. So I think that you will enjoy exploring that, and we will just continue to learn together. I know I'll enjoy it because we have much to learn from one another. And then I want to say one more note about this weekend. Again, knowing that there are a number of podcast listeners in Portland, I'm going to be at the Portland Body, Mind, Spirit Expo Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center. And I'm going to be speaking at 11 a.m. on Saturday on my favorite topic, The Frontier Beyond Fear. Although that talk is not going to be a lecture, it's going to be an interactive time where we can all help each other. That's usually the way those talks go, and that's how we all seem to really create a synergy in the group. You know, if you're quiet, you don't have to feel, I'm not the kind of speaker who forces people to participate, because I used to be the person out in the audience who felt uncomfortable with that. And sometimes it amazes me. I'm here talking on the radio like this. But so I'm very, very empathic if you're in that situation. But there will be opportunities for us all to participate in that energy. And that's 11 a.m. Saturday at the Oregon Convention Center in Hall A, the Portland Body, Mind, Spirit Expo. And then on Sunday of the expo, I'm speaking at 3 p.m. on Feminine Voices of the Divine. And this will be exploring an area of research as well as combining some more less research-oriented themes, talking about mystical women through history and what they've had to share with us. That's the research aspect, although it will very quickly lead us into some really beautiful spiritual reflections, because many of these women who came from many different cultures, many different paths, had much to share through their voices that can help us today. And we'll also talk about, whether we're male or female, how we can connect to that feminine aspect of the divine. So that's 3 p.m. Sunday at the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo. And I will also be at booth number 19 the entire time. So, and at my booths are very free-flowing. I sometimes do formal coaching if I'm called to do that. Other times I will just be talking with people. This time I am going to do my coaching on a donation basis, because I feel guided to do that. And, you know, you're just welcome to come by, because I'm really just going to be there openly working with people and interacting with people. And usually we all help each other at the booth as well. For more information on upcoming shows, appearances, anything going on, as well as the archived broadcasts, including this one, just go to frontierbeyondfear.com. That's where you can find out all the information. And I welcome you coming onto Facebook as well, because we're gradually building that page. It's kind of in its infancy, but I really welcome you onto the Frontier Beyond Fear Facebook page. And I always talk on Twitter too. I'm Bridge Builder on Twitter, and there's a link to that as well. And there are quite a few people on Twitter because I've been doing that for quite a while before this show even existed. So anyway, okay, to make a long story short, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this podcast, but I think I'm going to wrap it up exactly where I started it, just with a heartfelt thank you to everyone out there. You know, you have really touched my heart in many ways. I hear from some of you sometimes, and the affirmations you sent my way, they just help fuel this even more. And I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm appreciative of you. And I know many of you are doing some really wonderful things, the guests and the audience both. And, you know, I'm just appreciative of this community. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you next time.